Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember.
Awesome, you know, talking to Paul Rosenberg, and you go to the off show. We had a bunch of other cool stuff we're yakking on and doing. And Paul's going to be a big part of the noticing, the campaign for the maker hacker community, of which he's still known and, you know, knows the verbiage and the geekdom of he can explain it to him. And we're going to get a lot of the stuff that we're doing. Paul plays a big part in making it Grandma Adjust Button for people to explain and do and promote and have his name associated with. And I'm sure to his benefit too, but it's really beneficial for us to have that community. And it's we're getting ready. You know, my workstation, or did you send a picture to Paul?
Right now.
It's kind of hard to make out. Anyway, it's going, and it's going pretty quick. You know, I mean, to me, I know a lot of us, I'm going, damn, I got to wait 5 days to, you know, but, okay, I'll save the world in 5 days. I got to wait 5 days.
Next week.
We'll do it next week. So, you know, not later. Now, not later. I mean, I'm always about now, not later. Because, and waiting on you now. You know where that comes from, waiting on you now?
I don't.
It was Iron Man, the first Iron Man, when he's getting on his plane to fly with the black guy, and he's like, you know, standing there, been waiting, you know, 2 hours for them to go to the, you know, he goes, waiting on you now, and he gets on the plane, you know, I'm on the plane, you know, I'm waiting on you now. So that's where that comes from. That's kind of, you know, my thing. But I'm wanting to make sure that the future is already, it's there. It's just what you can imagine, and what you imagine is what happens. You know, it's just, yeah, you're so worried on the negative, then of course that happens, and if it does, I don't care. It's not my problem. I'm worried about what can we do now, and we start taking little baby steps towards, and we go get some. Well, a lot of it is going to be financial freedom. You can't do anything if the man, you know, keeps taking your money. And I demonstrated this to my children. One of my sons, we went to Mexico to help with an orphanage thing. It's a, you know, church thing. We were going down there. And as I had a couple kids in my car, and I said, look, when we cross this imaginary line, the paved roads and the Walmarts and so on go away. Why? We go across the border, we get there, and I mean, it is families living in junk cars. They're going through the dump. Anytime we go and dump anything off, you see the families come out and they go through everything.
Are we talking about downtown LA?
Right. You have these mangy dogs everywhere, and God forbid you need to go to the bathroom. I mean, you know, it's not like there's a Circle K. So they really got a sense of poverty. And it is just immediately across the border. And I go, why? Because whenever you accumulate anything, there is not this respect or this expectation of the government protecting your property rights. The only reason that you have government is the defense of individual rights, and certainly that is right to property. And what happens when you accumulate it, it's a shiny badge there to take it. They go, oh, I'm sorry, you have too much stuff. We're going to redistribute of what. So this is where socialism goes, and you see this everywhere. Now, there may be, you know, interested parties or disinterested parties or somebody doing jacking up and making, I don't even care. There's all kinds. Socialism would work if we could make people without people stopping us making them doing stuff. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So It's money. It's accumulation of capital. And there's new ways of doing that with crypto. Well, there's all the same people, the same interests, the same, you know, they're starting to get interested in this now. And what used to be, and I remember Tim Pachote texted me from the economic, the Crypto Investor Summit. And he's going, there's so much honoring and, you know, blowing up the skirt of the SEC that your head would explode. And I text back, kaboom. You know, it's just a course. So now, Tim, you came from this investor crypto summit thing. And where do you see the future? Do you see the future? Was there a little bit of future stuff there?
Actually, there was two of them. One of them was the Security Token Summit. The Security Token Summit was even more of the SEC love fest. And we had another Anarchapoco guy, John, so I'll give him a shout out, who I stayed with. And he wasn't there for the super, super status one, and his head exploded on the next day for the one that wasn't as status. I mean, just to give you an idea, I mean, one of the talks was called Long the Bankers, as in, like, they were, you know, favorable to the bankers. I'm like, wait, somebody auto-corrected hang. Somebody needs to change that. But it was just, you know, I mean, I did learn a lot of stuff there. I mean, there was cool. They had David Chom there, who apparently he's one of the godfather of crypto, working on this stuff of eCash back in 1983, had a paper out about it and was giving talks with Tim Berners-Lee on this back in the early 80s, before I was even alive. And he, after the speech, I went up to him like, Ernie's going to kill me if I have an opportunity to talk with him and blow it. So anyways, he gets, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, scammers and people promoting stuff to him, and he's doing the literally like hands in the air, like waving them like to his handlers, like, hey, like, get me out of here type deal. So I'm like, all right, this is gonna be pretty tricky to try to navigate this now that he had already been like pitched like 50 million times. And I managed to sneak through and cut through all the crap and told him about you and Pirate Communication. And it looked like he was working on Pirate Communications, is exactly what I would call it. And
did you give him a site or send him a book or, you know, text him the letter or something?
So I've got, yeah. So one of his handlers, I was going to pirates.boards.com and telling him how the first letter of Mark was about communications and being able to, you know, hailing frequencies and visible.
Oh, that's the third one.
Okay, well, I'll send
make him
the
read,
link.
Man.
I'll make him read. He's got to read two other ones then to get to it. But no, so that was good. You know, there's a lot of cool companies there in terms of, you know, different things that are important for me, whether it's, you know, how do you custody the assets. And that was really the big thing that was going on, especially at the Security Token Summit, which was all the, I mean, I was underdressed there and I had on, you know, a nice tie and a vest and, you know, nice slacks and dressed up. But everyone there was, you know, in suits, hedge funds guys, VCs. A lot of lawyers. I think my main take from the first one, that it was basically a lot of lawyers who were like, well, you know, if we do XYZ, we can charge this. But if we do XYZ and say it's crypto, then we can charge 2 or 3X. And so I'm there because I want to make a S load of money and I don't really care about freeing anybody. Or that was sort of my...
It just buzz. You know, it was like when Patrick Byrne, this last event he spoke at, the World Crypto World Summit of something. I don't know, it's here in the last couple of
years. T0 was the second biggest, I think, title sponsor of the deal.
Oh, okay. Well, when he actually spoke here recently in Vegas or wherever it was recently. And the crowd, it was like, you know, 4,000 people or something the year before. Well, this year that he had spoke, it was only like 1,500 people, which is still a lot, you know. And he gets up and he goes, good. I see all the tourists are gone. And he goes, now we're getting down to the people that really know what's up. What you witnessed here, all the tourists from the legal community, how are we going to say crypto? We're going to make some money. It's a buzzword kind of deal. And they're looking to do something. It's exactly what I saw when Jay gave his IPFS client access document secure Raspberry Pi thing, you know, at the lawyer hackathon here at Arizona State University. When I went there, the first thing out of the lawyer's mouth, how do we monetize this? And I'm going, you need to be thinking, how do you even get or keep clients? That's what you need to be thinking. When you monetize, it means you got something, you got some, you know, money coming in. That's what you need to, you keep thinking that way, and you're not providing services and then doing it for a real reason. It's quit just charging extra and being the go-to guy. What happens? They abandon all you guys, and they go to Tim Pachote, thelibertyadvisor.com. We'll be right back. Get all the details. Let Tim tell us everything in just a little bit.
from the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Local radio, we always had to do weather and, you know, traffic break and news breaks and all that kind of stuff. Let's go, Danny Scott, get the tax slaves to work, traffic report, you know, kind of. They didn't like it. They just damn libertarian. You'd get, ooh, don't get part of it. Yeah, well, we got on the I-10, we have, you know, then they're just, you know, seething. Yeah, get them tax slaves to work, you know. I tell you, in broadcasting and journalism, they don't like when you come up and call or inject stuff they don't want you to. Well, at this summit, you know, they're there doing some stuff, and Tim's like going, you know, what are you guys really doing here? And he's got, get that microphone away from that boy. We thought he was nice, clean cut, good looking, you know, a little triathlete over there going, you know, say something for the machine and, you know, go down on the SEC a little bit. And that isn't what happened. So paint the picture of what was going on. What was the presentation that you injected?
So on the last day, you know, I'm sure I'm kind of late. I was only going to be there for a couple hours on the last day. And, you know, I wasn't really planning on going to any of the panels. And I see, oh, one of them is called the Lightning Network. I'm like, oh, let's go be a sort of infiltrate as a, you know, a double agent in there to see what's going on, or a mole to go in there. And, you know, it's all guys, you know, talking about how great, you know, this new second layer Lightning is going to be. And so at the end, you've got a guy who asked a question ahead of me. And the guy, it's more like a, you know, it's this big VC hedge fund guy who's like, he's, you know, venture capitalist, what I mean by VC, of, you know, hey, I've been investing in technology for 20 years, and I think we've actually, he's like, don't you guys agree that we've reached peak crypto, that we've really reached peak adoption? I'm like, man, what a bunch of idiots who are here at this conference. And then he is going and saying, well, everyone here
can
agree.
Why would he say peak adoption, peak crypto? What was even that?
It's like this, you know, this guy that was just, you know, thought he was like super smart because he's been investing for 20 years, and he wanted to explain. So he asked, you know, like a, it's not even like a 20, it's like a 20 minute long question of, you know, him just explaining it to everybody. And yeah, so then I end up being the next person to ask a question. And the question was something like this. I'm like, you know, basically all of the early adopters, or pretty much all of them, were guys who wanted to get away from these centralized systems. They wanted permissionless money. They wanted to have decentralization of their money. They wanted to get away from third parties. And here you guys are with the Lightning Network being the Trojan horse to get everybody into these centralized systems that are going to be KYC. They're going to be able to take your money. They're going to be controlled. And I really think that you guys are acting. And so how can we scale crypto without using the second layer Litecoin solution? And, you know, then they, you know, started saying, oh, well, you know, you don't have to use it. And, you know, and then they started talking about like how easy it is to set up. I go, right now, I'm working at the retail level. If I've got a 60-year-old that comes to my office, doesn't know anything about Bitcoin, I've got to, you know, go through these 10 steps with them. Then I've got to then say talk about setting up your own Lightning node. They're like, well, we're going to make it super easy. I'm like, yeah, and the super easy one is going to be the Trojan horse one.
It's going to be the Goldman Sachs and then
gun coin. And they go, well, most people won't care. I go, exactly, that's the point. Most people won't care. You're going to lead them right into basically the slaughterhouse. And then it was basically like, all right, next question. We were running out of time, so they didn't really want to deal with me too much. And I almost said, I'm like, hey, listen, you've got like idiots like this guy in front of me who thinks you've already reached peak adoption. And here he is at a crypto invest summit, let alone people that, you know, the 99.99% of the world that's not here right now. And like, I bet half this room can't even set up a Lightning node, let alone, you know, any other room out there. And so, you know, at least I got, you know, a little bit of something in there.
Well, was there support? Did anybody go, yeah, what he said? Somebody say something to you later? Or did they, you know, just stab you with their eyes or what?
I'm not even sure if everyone there even knew what I was even talking about. I mean, because it was all more like the, you know, lawyer hedge fund guys who probably I was speaking like Latin to them. You know, it's like probably like the first time I heard Colin Cantrell talk. Like, all right, only understood like every other word. So I imagine it was probably like a similar thing where the guys on stage knew what I was talking about, but I don't know necessarily that anybody else knew what I was talking about, unfortunately.
Do you think they were surprised that someone from the audience would even bring decentralization up?
I mean, their whole thing is, you know, the first layer of the network, you know, that needs to be decentralized. But the second Lightning network, that doesn't matter. I mean, that was sort of their response to all this. But no, it was, I think that they were surprised because, you know, they probably weren't expecting, you know, like an Anarchapoco type person or a crowd guy to be there, you know, just judging by how
well, who was there? I mean, who was this for?
Well, the first day was,
I mean, the name of it was what?
Crypto Invest Summit. And then the other one was the Security Token Summit. So the Security Token Summit was all...
So this is government, Uzi, shiny badges stuff.
The Security Token Summit was basically like, you know, hey, we're going to... And what I was hoping is it was going to be more like T0 type stuff. But I did get an interview with one of the T0 guys or one of the main consultants for T0, Jor Law. And so that was really good.
When's that going up?
Probably sometime next week because my wife had to go back for a... death in the family, so right now I'm just with the kids by myself, and I still made it here before Frank and two kids ready, living half an hour away with a 2 and 3 year old. So take a break.
You know, yesterday he goes like this. He says, where I live. You know, he came and did a 2 hour online class thing with some. He was invited to speak, and man, I was in here working on my pie thing, and. And he downloaded them. I was like, I tell you, I could be a prostate doctor listening to Frank enough, man. You know, and he goes around giving a speech. He's an awesome presentation. Yeah. It's engaging. I was like, there's somebody on the other line. You know, that sounds like me, man. You know, nobody gets to talk. But anyway, so he just went through it. It was awesome. But we were talking. And he goes, where he lives now, he's only 2 minutes away from his work. I go, oh, so you're only 10 minutes late. He goes, what? And I go, it's just because I know people like this that their time's so valuable. You know, there's so many, you fill it up with so much stuff. Like, you know, I could leave now and be there 10 minutes early, or I can get this big thing done over here and change my transmission oil, you know, fluid or something. I mean, you know, it's just, you're filling in time. There's just a lot of people do that.
That's usually, I mean, I'm actually shocked that I hit like every single green light imaginable. So I think I hit 2 red lights out of maybe 25. So it was, I thought I was going to be here right on time, and somehow I was like 5-10 minutes early. It was crazy. The world wanted me to get this information out.
Yes, it did.
Is there a guest next hour? Are we?
Yeah, but you could sit in with it. I tell you what it is. James Walker is a gentleman I met at Anarchazona. You probably know who he. I can't remember what he looks like, but he called me, and he has a site called Surfing the Change, and his whole thing is like, you know, I'm just, what's the new economy for if you want to be decentralized and get off the grid and out of and not get sucked into Lightning or whatever? I'd like to come on. Let's just talk about what the new freedom-oriented, leave me alone as pirate employment might be, and I'm going. Yeah, I think you should stick around for that. Can you?
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, I was planning on it. But it's just amazing how much stuff has gone on since the last time we've talked. I mean, since the last time I was on air, which was not that long ago. I mean, maybe 8-9 days ago. We've had, you know, Trump announcing, you know, he wants QE4 for the stock market. We've obviously had Julian Assange stuff going on, and Trump's response is, you know, that's not really my thing. I was pretty triggered yesterday over all the stuff.
I don't have an opinion. I don't know anything. Nobody's read me in. I kind of, you know, whatever. I'm waiting for the focus group.
Just minus the you know, 100 tweets he had about it in 2016. Or I mean, I would take the over on it that he probably had more than 100. Who knows?
Oh, but he was in support of Assange and WikiLeaks back then. What do you think it's going to be now?
Well, I mean, it depends. Do you want the Trump-tard response of what the 4D chess is going to be, or do you want like the what I think?
We'll get into all of it. All of it. We'll talk during the breaks. You need to go to the streaming. You know, that's one thing. I got Facebook claiming, you know, guys that go, hey, the volume's too low.
But, you know, I
take it to D-Live.
I got maxed out as much without really freaking jacking up the modulation. But hopefully I got feedback it was better now. Go there, you get the commercial stuff.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
Okay. We can talk about PewDiePie. You know, and his going, and you said he's going D-Live now?
He made an announcement he's doing D-Live. Actually, I read it on Freedom's Phoenix. But yeah, or actually, D-Live sent me an email about it. But yeah, D-Live on, I think it's April 14th. So what is that, Sunday, I think? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's coming up. But yeah, no, I'm hoping, planning on doing something, or maybe we can, maybe I can do some live streaming from the party now, and I can, who knows, when we come here.
Awesome!
You know what I have?
We have all those kids, you know, Colin's gonna come with his kids, you bring your kids, we got the kids across the street, he's, you know, Vector Launch, you know, he'll be home, I gotta go over there and talk to them. Then, some of my grandkids will be, we have a bunch of kids stuff, you know, early on. Then we kick the kids out, and we bring out the pole, and, you know. But they have, and usually it's always the early crowd and the late crowd whenever we have these parties anyway. But they have all those different countries represented from those exchange kids. You know, what is it, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Nepal, Mexico City,
Venezuela.
Poland. I mean, I'm like, wow. So it's going to be a lot of cool conversation. So I encourage anybody, you're around, it's an open party. Everybody comes. You expect the man to be there. You're going to get surveilled and dusted with RFID, you know, track dust or whatever. I don't care. You know, next, you know, convince them to. And that's one of the reasons why we're able to get away with a lot of the stuff that we do is there's always agents. In fact, one that we knew was an informant and, you know, an undercover kind of whatever guy from the mid-90s, 10 years later, no, 13, 14 years later, at our workshop downtown, it was the same guy. And they introduced it in the same kind of way. You have a supporter, he gives you some money. You know, he goes, hey, man, this guy, I saw him, he was published in the New Times about the work he's doing downtown with the minority, blah, 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 blah. Get some street cred. Franz, that was his name. I was trying to think of his name before. Franz, he goes by Franz. He's kind of lives in the van down by the river, you know, with his dreadlocks, black guy. But he's always, you know, his fingernails are always clean. He's got nice, you know, kind of, you know, clean jeans. And it just kind of, it was kind of off. And we knew, found out later, he was, you know, law enforcement from, you know, like 13 years before. They bring him down. I go, what's happening? How's it going? Let me show you everything. Well, we're doing this. We're doing this. I know who you are. Like, come on, you know. You just come in as long as you'd help. You hold the sign. It's all good, you know. So by us being so open with all parties and everything, yeah, we can bust them. They went behind the shed and smoked a doobie. Let's bring in the SWAT team, you know, that kind of thing. And now they don't even can't get that. So, you know, so that's all good.
Well, yeah, well, I've got another new toy to my arsenal now. I bought a brand new, like, it's called a Hero 7 Black GoPro.
We're coming back.
Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back. We just keep yakking. Yeah, whatever. Keep going. What?
Well, no, now I've got another, like, live streaming camera where I've got this GoPro Hero 7 that has this built-in, like, gimbal. So you can literally just shake the thing.
Oh, they're up to Hero 7 now?
Well, you can shake the thing all around like you've got, you know, like Tourette's or something. Not Tourette's, but... But anyways, yeah, that's what I meant. But anyways, it has some sort of AI in it where, like, the image is, like, perfectly stable. It's amazing. And you can live stream right from it, going right to, like, an RTMP server. So it is pretty crazy, the technology that they have now.
Well, you're starting to post stuff up on World Alternative Media, you know, with Josh Segerson, John Seaman, and you're have access to start posting your stuff. They're starting to have, you know, issues with YouTube, you know, coming down on them. And you have the technology. You helped us. You do you. You could live stream on all kinds of and post on everything on Suck It. Are you bringing that to them?
Yeah, I mean, I talked with on the drive home from the airport. I was talking with John, and that was part of what we're talking about. Because Josh is going to be away for like a month or two, because he's going to on this search for Atlantis, where he's doing. So what we're talking about is World Alternative Media on YouTube. You guys can search it out. He's got probably closing in on 120,000 subscribers, if not already.
Man, that's when they get you.
Yeah, and but it's still. I mean, even though they've got, you know, their reach has been decimated. I mean, I think the videos I posted just in the last week have been watched for like 350,000 minutes or something crazy like that. And then if you count like the other video I did in October with them, I'm up to like 600,000 minutes of watch time just on like a few videos. So it is, so even though the reach has been decimated, it's still getting, you know, a lot of information out that they don't want you to get out.
Yeah.
Being, you know, Daytube. And so yeah, my big push is, you know, why don't we just, you know, with this whole PewDiePie thing, we need to make a big push on it. And I'm sure there's ways we can probably game the algorithm or put, you know, some lino in or something to then show up on that homepage, and then you're gonna be exposed to all of PewDiePie's crowd. So I think this is like a huge got a strike while the iron's hot. I mean, maybe we just do, maybe you do a live stream and PewDiePie's going on Sunday, we'll do one, you know, cross reference. I mean, on that's going to be, I don't know, I think we got to strike with irons hot in that, because we're super early adopters on DLive, and I found DLive to work very well. I mean, Facebook, there's problems with the audio, as you were mentioning earlier. You know, Twitch, you know, you've got to run some ads in the beginning, so it's sort of annoying, but DLive, I found, they have a mobile app as well. I feel like it works pretty well.
We have DLive, right?
We do, because someone set it up for you. Yeah, so we got
Mr.
it.
Mr. Tempachoke.
Yeah, but it's just amazing how much stuff is going on in every single direction. I mean, on the crypto space, I read the other day that Facebook is borrowing or raising another $1 billion for their own, like, U.S. dollar-backed Facebook coin, which, yoo-hoo, wahoo for that. But, you know, it is more of the Trojan horse adoption type deal. And then you've got Coinbase is now going to have a credit card, not credit card, like a debit card. But
they have Visa payment system with crypto or something.
But it's not like the other ones in the past where you had to go into your account and you had to sell it to fiat, then it moves over. And this is like you have Litecoin, Bitcoin, Ethereum, I think maybe even Ripple in your account, and then boom, you sell it and it makes it easy. And I mean, now we just need some, you know, I don't want to talk about, you know, legislation on your show, but it's nice to have some legislation where it said, you know, hey, if you're spending, you know, these small, you know, trinkets or buying coffee, that there's no taxable gains in that stuff. I mean, that would be excellent. I'm not going to hold my breath on that. But it's just amazing, like, the pace of change and everything. And then, I mean, I feel like I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Julian Assange, because it just, to me, that is one of the MVPs of the election, without a doubt, is Julian Assange. And now to see everyone turning their back on him, a lot of the Trump-tards who are, and what I mean by Trump-tards, not anyone that voted for Trump, because that would include myself. But what I mean by that is someone that never blames that Trump is always right, that there's always some grand master plan that I'm not smart enough to understand.
Tit. Give me some tit. Trust in Trump.
Yep. And then, the trust the plan. Yeah, my initials on that one. So it's just ridiculous that, you know, people are like, well, you know, what's going to happen is that he's bringing Assange here, so then that way they can get discovery, and then they're going to lock up Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I'm like, well, then call him here as a witness. Don't call him here as a criminal.
And don't put Manning in jail for not testifying against him.
I know, and so, but then they're like, you know, they're holding it out on this, you know, 0.1% Hail Mary of if every single one of these events goes exactly perfect and we wrap it up in 2 years, and that's like the default option that the Trump people, you know, concoct this gigantic conspiracy of like, well, if he did it for this reason over here, and, you know, they're acting like, you know, in all these things, I'm not holding my breath on any of it. I mean, it's like, okay, great, you know, I wasn't wearing, you know, Assange for prison shirts walking around DC in October of 2016. I'm going on flights wearing Assange for prison. I was wearing Hillary for prison. And what's happening on that front? I see nothing happening on that front, or not fast enough, completely squandering everything that we've got going on. But if you don't stand up for Julian Assange, then what do you really stand for? I mean, and to see all these Trump people completely abandon him because, you know, oh, you know, he raped somebody, which, you know, the Duke LaCrosse case was more believable than that. You know, it's just absolutely, you know, crazy to see everyone, just a lot of these Trump people abandoning him. And it's probably a small minority. It's probably maybe the most vocal 10%. But that vocal 10% has pissed me off enough where you know, I'm probably not going to, unless, you know, he does something crazy like actually lock up Hillary or Obama, or maybe, you know, freeing Ross Ulbricht or commuting a sentence, you know, mixed in with legalizing marijuana. There's very little I'm going to be excited for in 2020 of, oh, you know, it's, well, we can't have the Democrats in there.
And trust in Trump, another, he couldn't do it in his first presidency term. He has to do it in the second
one. Can't repeal Obama, we can't repeal Obamacare when we control every, when we control both houses and the presidency. We can't do that. I mean, that would just be wrong. I mean, but Grant, he has done some good things. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff he's done.
What?
Well, I mean, all the stuff he's done is stuff I would, stuff I'd expect him to do, like pulling out of the TPP and the Paris Accord. Oh, great. That, I assume you're going to do that. It takes very little effort. Great. You know, we don't need to now be worshiping the guy for doing something that I would expect him to do and I voted for him to do. You know, exposing the deep state. But who helped expose the deep state more? Julian Assange. And who does he go after? Julian Assange. And so,
do you think Trump's, I get the impression,
it's not my thing,
that he's, yeah, that he's like, hey, man, you know, I don't have an opinion. Until the people have an opinion, then I'll have my opinion that'll be most beneficial to me from the people's opinion, you know. And he got to get the focus groups done. We got to see how it all shakes out. We got to, because I was wondering last night, you know, when Frank was over, we were yakking, Donna and he and I, and Joseph, you know, his friend, he listens to the show a lot and so on. He had called and said, "Hey, you watching Fox News?" Because, you know, you had Sean on and then Laura Ingraham, and they're going, and we were just yakking. I go, we'll go watch it later, or Frank will, and tell me about it because I don't care. But I just said, all I want to know is Sean or Laura, any of these guys, are they pro Assange or anti? You know, where are they coming at? And he goes, well, it wasn't really clear. They weren't really saying there wasn't, you know, I go, what is the narrative? What is the flavor? What are they saying? You know, I'm with you, man. I just, what's Trump going to do? Because we got enormous amounts of debt. He's screaming for QE4. Is it only four now? I thought, you know, that's just the official ones that they're talking about. What does that mean? Quantitative easing, four. Quantitative easing, I had to go look all this crap up, you know, back when they were doing this. What the hell is that? It's just printing money. You know? So how are they going to do it? What's the number four going to be like?
That's probably going to be like the other ones, but probably even bigger, because now we're in even a bigger hole, and, you know, it's going to take even a bigger, and there's no way to get us out of the hole. I mean, all he can do is, you know, he is doing a great job, if by great job you mean how do you extend this out and prevent a crash from, now, how do you delay the crash is the better way of phrasing that, for longer periods of time. And I think he's doing a great job if that is the yardstick. If the yardstick is, hey, I want to free my kids and grandkids and I don't want to be underneath this debt slavery forever, then he's getting us more enslaved underneath that system. I've said it a million times in the show where now it's probably going to, you know, collapse underneath, you know, the Republican, conservative, free market type rule, and we're going to be the ones who get the blame for this, and it's going to usher in some sort of socialism as a consequence.
Yeah, blame between, you know, and I don't care. See, yeah. You could have a freaking super commie socialist government all you want. I give you Soviet Russia. And the free market reigned, man. The black market was the market. You absolutely, you can get some blue jeans. They cost $35, but I mean, you could get some blue jeans, you know, instead of this, you know, $6 deal. And they're used from Goodwill. But the smuggled in by, you know.
And now $35 would be a hell of a deal, probably, because of all the inflation.
So. Right.
Because of all the QE.
So now I'm. Can we just bypass all of this? So we'll get back to your summit that you went to and the attitudes of where do they want to go. And they're going, you know, we took a look and we noticed that this crypto thing can be used to enslave everybody. We can do it, and this is how we're going to do it. Let's talk about it. SEC, we love the government. From the fifth letter of Captain Mark, first contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords, but if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well.
Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Maybe not air guitar. I don't know what it'd be. But it's Ernie having fun. That's what it is. Get over it. You know, this is what's coming. We have so many vectors, so many things that we're in. And all of a sudden, if you listen to the show for decades, you go, God, man, it's kind of a, you know, Ernie had a thing. There was a goal. There's a thing. It's so much stuff. You know, we have the pirate categories of communication, energy, shelter, health. Healthcare, we have food and water, transportation, education. You know, you're going, wow, there's, why those categories? What's going on? Well, I'm telling you, in communication, that's why we put crypto in there, because it communicates prices. And I don't even like using the word economy, because it's, you know, the Austrian phrase is catalactics, which is, you know, it's worth what somebody will pay for it at the time there's an exchange or something. That's your, you know, your economy. But catalactics is what people would pay at the time for whatever reasons, and that glass of water is worth a bunch of money in the desert kind of thing. Well, economy is the home budget kind of deal. It's a Greek for, you know, what, and it's a collective thing. It's always the economy, like the economy, like it's a thing. You know, it's like somebody's property. It's an allowed to sphere of the SEC said. And I'm going, screw your economy. You know, what about, you know, me, mine, and I have freedom, and I can do whatever the hell I want. And I don't care what kind of monopoly you guys got and granted, because I can compete. Now, Barry Hess and I had a conversation yesterday on this very thing, and it was the economy is, you know, what is it that we can have an impact, you know, for ourselves? How is it that we can, you know, do what we want without them having any kind of impact? And then talk on the campaign trail, how would you talk about these issues to get people's mind right that we're not in this control? Because he's going on about, we're talking about having Larkin Rose come be minister of propaganda versus, like, you know, the reasonable libertarian, semi-mini statist, whatever Barry Hess is, right? And he's going, corporations should pay like a 4% tax on all revenue. And I go, well, then how do you define revenue? I go, if I'm, you know, Discount Tire and I trade tires for mag wheels and doing kind of, I mean, is that revenue? Is, I mean, see, every definition, every word you come up with, I'm going to get around something, okay? So I'm
how, and screw Discount Tire, because they're the ones who are against the marijuana decriminalization out here. But
why?
I don't know. The guy's tied into something, but whatever. I already forgot.
So the point that he was making is that if you have limited liability that is granted from the state, you got a corporation that has the state benefit of you don't get liable for whatever, then, yeah, all right, you get that benefit. Well, then you got to be licensed, and you got to this, you got to pay, and you get blah, 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 blah. But what they did at the same time is they made it illegal to compete. What if I don't want the liability? What if I will take care of my customers? What if I don't worry about getting sued? What if I don't care? What if I, you know, I didn't have a license to do the brain surgery and, you know, bite me? You know, what about that? Nope, not allowed to do that. Well, then you just created the monopoly. A government-sponsored, enforced monopoly with the benefits of they can't, what, and there's no competition. So this kind of freedom is what I'm looking for, is in a sphere to where it's just, I don't care what your rules are. We're outside of it. With crypto and communication the way it is, and the world getting smaller and travel and all this kind of stuff, you would think that is the future and what should be focused on and where there's a lot of opportunity, which there is. But when you go, the crypto events, you know, that was back then is not the same as it is now. When you go there, it's all about comply, 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 comply. We are compliant. We're the most compliant. Pick us. We're the most compliant. How far off am I?
Especially at the Security Token Summit. I mean, because maybe I need to back it up and let your audience know exactly what a security token is, because most people don't know what it is. But first off, I do want to give a shout out to Barry Hess, because Barry Hess is the whole reason that I'm even in here, because he's the one that brought me to the party, because I wanted to talk to Barry about something that I can't even remember what it was in 2016. And he was like, hey, why don't you come down to Ernie's, and gave me the address. And then I know we were watching one of the first debate with Hillary and Trump. Ah. And then I was talking with you, and you're like, well, hey, you sound interesting. How about you come on the show? And then, directly responsible, that is Barry Hess.
Yeah, Barry Hess has his damn Facebook account, whatever.
Don't tell him. For creating a monster. And at the time, I had a fake name on there, so he thought I was like an Asian guy, because it was Timmy, but spaced out, so it looked like it was Time Y. So he thought it was, I was like a Filipino. But yeah, getting back to Security Token Summit, a security token is, what Patrick Byrne was referring to in T0, where the stocks will eventually be these tokens. So instead of having Apple stock, how it trades today through the DTCC and through all the other crap that goes on, you'll have a token that represents that stock, and then that will then trade instantaneously. And it's where the transaction is the settlement, which is why it's called T0. So this was
instead of T3 or T later.
Now it's T. Yeah, now it's T2. They've got it. It took them 5 years to get down to that. But So with this T0, where the transaction is the settlement, that's what one of the main reasons why I wanted to go, because I saw T0 was going to be a big sponsor.
So
of
did you guys get the hooked up with them? I mean, you guys are buds now. You see where they're at. What's the news on? I want to get into the news on where they're at too, but we'll get to that later. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, so at the summit, I mean, I think, my impression of the people they had up there with speakers was basically like, hey, this guy paid $75,000 to sponsor it. Because they called me about sponsoring it. It was like, this third-tier package is like $50,000, and we've got $75,000 sponsorship. Wow. And $100,000 sponsorship. And so my impression of this was, well, hey, we've got these guys who paid $100,000. There's nowhere near as many people as we thought there was going to be. So at the end, we give away a whole bunch of free tickets, because this was a $1,700 event at the Ritz-Carlton. Super nice, like, Evian type bottles on the table, and, super nice, like VIP type event. And my impression was that since they weren't, and actually there was quite a bit of people at that, probably I'd say 250, 300 people at this. I mean, the event looked, pretty full, at least at the one at the Ritz-Carlton. But it was more like, hey, these people paid a bunch of money to be here. Not that these people were like the absolute experts, but they had a lot of big time names who were up there. Because if you've got $100,000 to give out,
just
but
to be there, or did they want to change the world? They just wanted to co-opt
I think one of the main sponsors was this Onera, O-W-N-E-R-A, and the guy, one of his talks was, long the bankers, how great they are. We don't need to get, and the SEC is great, and it was basically like who could, patronize the SEC the most up there of how great they were. Now they were all bashing FINRA, which this the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, which were the ones that were governing me when I had a Series 7, but they're so slow. And actually, even one of the really pro SEC people said, "Listen, this is the FINRA is basically molasses moving slowly uphill, and compared to the SEC." And so they were very, very positive of it, but it was like, hey, we need the regulation, and there's nothing,
Well, this is where T0 comes in, because when you talk to Patrick nowadays, he's like, yeah, we're working with him. We're working. We're getting it all worked out. We're working. We'll help him with the work, So he's playing America in the game and going through this process. It's kind of like Elon Musk and NASA in space.
I'd rather have him there doing it than...
No. I'm glad, at least we can know what the hell's really going on when we talk to him. Say, all right, Patrick, what up, man? But I remember it was January 16. He was saying that's when the memo went out. All of a sudden, they love us a long time now. They want to work because they know that they don't have a choice.
One thing I just remember, a topic that came up from the summit, and actually it was one of the really statist guys that was saying this. He goes, imagine like right now if you have a bond and or some sort of dividend paying or interest bearing or some sort of coupon paying financial instrument. If it pays, let's say, monthly versus quarterly, you might get a 3% higher premium because people would rather get paid monthly than quarterly. And they're like, well, with blockchain technology, imagine if you could bring it down to weekly, or imagine if you bring it down to daily, or imagine you bring it down to hourly, or imagine you bring it down to the second by the millisecond. What would that value, extra value, would that have be? And through the blockchain, it could instantaneously then get deposited to your account, and it would just revolutionize and speed up so many different things. And these are areas of finance that are already track, trace, surveilled. Whether you're doing it through the traditional stock market or through the security token, it would just be a lot more efficient through the security token mechanism. And so So it is interesting. And, but the big thing was, and I guess you guys take it to break. You guys can watch this on DLive.tv/Ernest Hancock, where Pootie Pie will be on April 14th, moving his crowd over there. But the big thing was custody. How do you know if you're a big hedge fund and you've got $100 million in Bitcoin? And we got two guys who lost the key, and now our clients are effed. What's going to happen? And so that was the absolute kind of linchpin, was the custody. And so I did talk to a lot of the people there, the trust companies who were there, about the custodianship, because I'm wearing this belt for myself. How do I have a client grab a just button, be able to do what we're trying to do? And so I've been talking with lots of different providers. There's things that we're trying to talk with to really trying to advance the game.
LibertyAdvisor.com. We'll keep yakking. You guys
get your crypto IRAs now.
Get on the stream. Get on the stream. You can do that at freedomsphoenix.com. You go in the top right into the radio show, and it has all the links there.
Would you like to hang out with Penn?
Okay, so finish up on that. The opportunities for being able to be on a stream of payment, the opportunities, you know, for all of the opportunities for us to have a totally different kind of payment system. I didn't want to call it an economy. What would we call it? Free market. You know, for the free market to reign, you know, when you talk about this stuff and the possibilities and so on, they're going, nah, that wouldn't fit into our model or template or, form that we have. I mean, what's your thought process?
Well, I mean, I got interviewed by some guy of, like, I don't know, it was like CoinCoin TV or something, and I mentioned something how I was just at Anarchapoca or Anarchazona, and the guy's like, oh, we can't have anarchy. We need somebody to make the rules. I go, listen, who's making the rules right now for me? The head of the Department of Financial Services is Maxine Waters, whose husband was doing insider trading and doing all this other stuff that was going on. And then the other person that has the second most amount of influence in that group is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So you're saying that if it wasn't for Maxine Waters and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that I couldn't do my job and the free market couldn't do a better thing? And the guy was like, and it was this Indian dude, like, during the headlights of, like, all right, you got me on that one.
Sort of thing. Yo, we got to bring that up in the live show. Okay, this is James Walker, and I told Tim what we're going to be talking about and so on, so we'll get into that, and he'll participate in it because this will be a good ad. And, really, I think what we discussed, we're going to talk about, is, you know, the new free market. What, you know, what's going to sustain us? Where's the gaps that we fill and do, and how, and, you know, what we're going to do? All right, go ahead and talk into that microphone. Let me make sure I got the right one here.
All right, thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, wait, that one. All right, try that.
How we doing?
There you go.
It's a beautiful day. We got some clouds in the sky too, so we're happy about that.
Okay, you
got
to get right up on it.
Like you own it?
Well, I mean, yeah, Mick Jagger lip it.
All right, that's really close in there.
Are those real clouds today, or the chemtrail clouds?
Are they chemtrail clouds?
Well, see, take a look up here.
All right, how we doing?
Turn that.
Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2. You see the difference?
Yep.
You know, so you got to get on it.
I can't get any closer.
Yeah, try a different microphone. See, or we may switch their microphones because Tim, can you? Okay, try that.
All right, how are we doing today? Is that better?
Yeah,
much okay. Better.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Let's go.
I got
swing
that
on
all the
tree.
Way up, but that's working okay. Better. All right, go ahead and put the windscreen of that other one on there. Yeah, just. Oh, the audience is listening to this. Oh my god.
Go to the live stream so you can see us doing windscreens. Oh, Ernie, one thing that you will like that Josh
test 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. I'm sorry, what?
So the other day I overheard Josh Sigerson refer to the Canadian Prime Minister as the Crime Minister. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. How could I have never heard that one
I know.
Before?
We have that.
I'm like, the Crime Minister. Like, that is amazing.
Okay. You think about that and you go, there was some little mental electromagnetic block of us ever making that connection. It's conspiracy to keep us from thinking such a cool idea. Yeah. You know, crime minister. Well, the crime minister of... that's awesome.
And then Berwick's commenting is like, yeah, that is amazing. Like, that, the crime minister.
I can't believe we hadn't thought of that.
Because when you said like the whole Larkin Rose propaganda, minister of propaganda, that's when I wrote down, okay, tell Ernie about crime minister.
Crime minister. God, I can't believe it has to. You know,
that's such an obvious one.
I know. That has to be. And I'm going to, search this. There's no way we don't have crime minister pop up everywhere. Seriously. Okay, let me see. Go.
I mean, there's enough wise asses in the
crime
movie. I think somebody would have.
Minister. Crime minister. Crime minister. Fandom powered. Crime minister. Yoko Shuchu. Whatever the hell that is. Knife crime. This Israel crime minister Netanyahu. Okay. And all right. So this is March. Okay. So it's not totally original. Well, the first one up gets the most here. Israel crime minister Netanyahu in unprecedented trouble. Blah 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 blah. Okay. So I guess it's not totally without precedent, but.
I haven't heard it. It's new to me.
Yep. You win. Like minds. All right. Let me see how the girls are putting stuff up. Facebook removes page of Ecuador's former president on same day as Assange's arrest. Whatever.
The crime minister took it down. We talked about an error that I
Ecuador's former president. Facebook removes page. Why would they do that?
Maybe in case he says anything that was contradictory to what just happened.
There's
a lot going on with that.
Yeah. And they got a huge IMF loan on the same day. Did you see that, Ernie?
I heard that they had some loan forgiven or something. I thought they had some debt forgiven too.
Well, no, you got an economic hitman. You got to keep him further indentured. But have we talked about on air before how I am not allowed to pay Facebook to boost my content anymore? It actually said, we can do like a live demonstration on air. It's happened.
You know, that's one of the things. Yeah, we want to focus, with James on what we were going to talk about.
Still in the break. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm easy.
This is what happens. Barry has been working on doing a monetization with Facebook. My son-in-law, Tim, is looking on doing some Facebook stuff, and he's been in contact with James Babb and Derek, and they do, kind of stuff. He's wanting to use Facebook. So there's a lot of ways. And the way I think Facebook should really be used is when people consent to be in contact with people, I'm like, all right, fine, cool. That's a good way to hook up. But when they prevent it, you're not allowed, or it's only approved, or if you could pay us thing. All right, what am I looking at here? Some of the stuff you find funny is not that funny.
It's not funny. It's just
not authorized for the type of this type of ad. Your ad account has not been authorized to run ads related to politics and issues of national importance. I'll read that when we come back. Are you kidding me? Well, the thing is that
I've already jumped through the hoops.
Yeah, I thought you did that.
I did. I jumped through the hoops already. And if you go to the business page manager, it says that I have jumped through the hoops, but then I still have the message saying that I haven't jumped through. Even though I have, and they say that I have.
Well, we need government regulation of Facebook so that you can complain to somebody to make them.
Yeah, we need Alex Jones and Jack Dorsey to have a road to redemption forgiveness program is what Alex Jones' new thing he's talking about. I'm like, you got to be absolutely kidding me. I heard him talk, and he was saying we need a road to forgiveness.
He's either co-opted or his mind's not right. There is something.
He's trying to get out of the Sandy Hook lawsuit by saying he has like psychosis and I think even acting crazier than usual. I don't know. I'm just trying to war game out the 40 chess.
All right. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Right. I've been watching him for a long time. He has last 8 months.
Yeah.
It seems he's a little different now.